I think I wanted to tell him.
Okay, so we're continuing the Gemara on Gimel and Beis and Shabbos. And basically, so the background here is that if a person, the Gemara is basically, Abaya has an Abaya, which we've been on for a while. Every day she starts with that. Okay, so Abaya has an Abaya. Okay, so Abaya has an Abaya, basically, here's a question. The question is, if you put your hand out carrying an item, put your hands from one rishus to another, from one domain to another, carrying an item, which you're not allowed to do, did the Rabbanon define his hand like a karmelis, okay, which has the effect of prohibiting him from bringing it back to his body? Did they make that prohibition, or did they not make the prohibition? Because your hand, in a certain sense, partakes of both rishios, because it's part of the body, so it's part of the domain of the body, but on the other hand, it's in the airspace of the other rishios, the other domain. So arguably, the Rabbanon could give it a status of like karmelis, which is kind of like a no man's land, like a rishios, like an in-between domain. And the halachic status is that you're not allowed to carry from karmelis to either rishios or rishios rab. So the question is, if they gave his hand the status of a karmelis, he's not going to be allowed to bring it back. Okay. So that's his question. Did they do that, or did they not do that? Okay. So the Gemara says, at this point, the problem is like this. So it has the two brises. One brisa, one Tanakh statement says that yes, they did. Yes, you're not allowed to bring it back. The other one says you are allowed to bring it back. Okay? So there's two brises. One saying you're allowed to bring it back, one says you're not. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the question. Did they make it a karmelis? Did they not make it a karmelis? One brisa says yes, one brisa says no. So the Gemara says, no. Really, everyone agrees that they did not. They didn't make the hand a karmelis. Okay, they didn't make the hand of Carmelis. They did not make the hand of Carmelis. But there's a separate kanas that they just penalize the guy that you're not, once you put your hand out there, since you did this, so you're not allowed to bring it back. Okay? You're not allowed to bring it back. Okay? That's a separate thing. They set up a kanas, a penalty. But, he says, that penalty is only if you put your hand across on Shabbos. Okay, because if you put your hand across on Shabbos, you violated a rabbinic prohibition. And as such, as a penalty, they said you're not allowed to bring your hand back. But if you put your hand across the border on Friday, on Erev Shabbos, so then you didn't do anything wrong. So then they didn't penalize you. And they said you're allowed to bring your hand back. Okay, that's what the Gemara prior to today said. Okay, and that's what we explained so far. Okay, that's the background. Any questions so far? Okay, so the Gemara is not so happy with this. Okay, with this distinction. So the Gemara says, hold on. It says, Adraba. It's like halfway down the page, the last word on the line is Adraba. Adraba, Ibucha Mistabra. The exact opposite is logical. Why? Mibodyom. If you put your hand across on Friday, the Isha delay, because if you now drop it on Shabbos, put it down in the other Rishos, lo asil dechliv chatas. You're not going to violate any deoraisa, any Torah prohibition, because your hotzah, your carrying, began on Friday, and if you do half of the malacha, half of the carrying on Friday, and the other half on Shabbos, you're not violating the Torah prohibition. The Torah prohibition, the whole thing has to be on Shabbos. So therefore, worst case scenario, even if the guy if you put your hand out on Erev Shabbos, worst case scenario, even if the guy drops the thing, he's not going to be in violation of any Torah principle. So therefore, it makes sense that liknesu rabbanan. Okay, then you could penalize him. Penalize him, they did something wrong, and you're going to penalize him, force him to keep his hand there. Worst comes to worst, he'll drop it, and he'll violate it as the Rabbanon. Violate the Rabbanon prohibition, that's fine. Worst case scenario, but Mishach Sheikha, but if he put his hand out, Be'isar, but it was prohibited, but he put his hand out on Shabbos itself, the Isha Dilei Asi B'Hudech Yibchatos, that if he drops it, okay, if he drops it by accident, he's going to actually be violating the Torah. He'll be chayv v'chatos. He'll be violating the desideraisa of hotzah. Lo liknas rabbanan. Then they shouldn't penalize him. Shouldn't penalize him because the penalty is going to end up leading to this penalty could lead to an desideraisa. So here you're trying to protect. You're trying to set a penalty in order to protect the Torah somehow. On the contrary, this is going to lead to the ultimate violation because the guy's going to end up dropping it. He's going to violate the Chol Shabbos Deoraisa. So the saying is, it doesn't make sense to say, if anything, if you want to differentiate between if you did it on Erev Shabbos or on Shabbos, do it the other way. If he does it on Shabbos, then you really have an issur d'oraisa to worry about. A real Torah prohibition, so then you should penalize him. Otherwise, if you did it on Erev Shabbos, then you don't have that problem. So let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Modiyom di shadi le kolomar. Hecha dehoshida modiyom. If you put your hand across during the day, shim tas rain alach zira, if you prevent him from bringing it back, v'yashuch miyado hachefet, and he throws the thing down, k'dei lahakel tercho, right, because it's too heavy for him, right, it's too much of a bother, lo osu dechiv chatos, he's not going to violate a chiv chatos, the right said, lo havi akira b'shabbos, because he didn't pick it up on Shabbos. Ela hanachal l'chudai, it's only, he only put it down, v'yisur d'rabbanano d'ika, it's only in d'rabbanan, d'asa miktsasa, because he didn't have that, yachai for the set, it's in d'rabbanan, do the second half. V'yid etnat, shneim paturim, aval asurim. So there, where the worst case scenario is, that if you leave your hand across, then you're gonna, you could potentially violate Nisa Darabanan. So then, Kansur Rabanan, Shil Zirana, then they're gonna record him, then you shouldn't bring it back. But if you put it back, put it across on Shabbos, Disha, Dilu Miyado Deknas, Shita Shanrach Zira, Nimsu Chayz Chatz, because if he throws it down because of the fact that he had to keep his hand there, he'll end up being Chayv Chatz in Shogiku. Double the Kiran Nacha, because he said he did real Kiran Nacha on Shabbos. Lo Kansur Rabbanan. Rabbanan shouldn't make that penalty. The Mutav Shalom Nignasu, better that we don't penalize him. Misha Nigrom Lavol Idechil Shabbos De Araisa. Better not penalize him and then to cause him to violate Shabbos, Vadechil Shabbos in a Torah. Right? Umi De Lo Chayash Shasahachi. And since you see that, apparently we're not concerned about that. Tiff showed by Adora Bibi. So it should...
Extend?
Tiff showed Bibi will be like poshet, it will resolve. Should resolve, make poshet.
Make poshet.
Make poshet. Make simple, the question of Rav Bibi. The lo nimnu chachamim ilhamid devrayhem, that you could conclude that the chacham did not hold back from... enforcing their words, Nechashash, Yavo Adam Bohem, Yamar Adam Bohem, Yavo Vyasa Sechamor, as Rabbanan did not maintain their halacha, even if there's a concern that a guy will keep it and end up violating a more Chamor Asa. Okay, we're going to get to Rabbi. I mean, we'll see what Rabbi is about in a second. Okay, so any problems so far? What's this Rabbi? So, what's this Rabbi thing? So, the Gemara goes further. So, it says, Deboy Rabbi. Okay, so put this whole thing on hold. This is a new case, okay? And we'll see how it relates. But so Bibi asks a question. Okay. Hidbik Pasbitanor. So here's the deal. There's two things. There's Nisr de Rice on Shabbos to bake. Okay, to bake bread, let's say.
Is that different than cooking or
the
same
thing? I don't know. I think they're told us. Yeah, one is Bishel's with water.
Right,
this is water and a field without water. So, what's your question? So that's an necessary. So fine. You know, so you line up bake on Shabbos. But now there's another halacha is that if you put bread in the oven, let's say before Shabbos or whatever, if you have bread in the oven, they used to do is they take these big balls of dough and they'd stick them onto the walls of the oven, and they'd have some sort of a tool where they'd peel them off afterwards when they were ready. Okay, I guess the walls of the oven are the hottest, so it would get the most heat. Okay, I don't know. I guess they didn't have shelves. However, for whatever reason, that's what they did. Okay, you know, they didn't have shelves, and they didn't want it to get in the ashes. Whatever it is, that's what they did. So they stuck the stuff, the bread, onto the walls, and then they peel them off. So there's an issur d'rabbanan that you're not allowed to peel it off on Shabbos. So even if you put it in before Shabbos, in which case you wouldn't be cooking on Shabbos and baking on Shabbos, but it's like, I guess Rambam learns it's like in Chaf Beis Aleph in Shabbos that it's. It's Shema Yavol De Bishel. It's that if you allow a guy to do, it's so to speak like the end, the final step in the baking. I'm sorry, Afia. Shema Yavol Afia. It's like the final step in the baking process. So if you allow him to do that step, then next week he's going to end up doing the whole process, the whole baking.
He'll even put it on.
So it's saying, it's basically, it's an Issur D'Rabbanan that you're not allowed to peel them off. Okay, you're not allowed to peel off the bread from the oven. Right. It would seem to be, it's interesting, but it would seem to be interesting about it now. It's like, it could be because it really, it's not just taking it out of the oven. But like, presumably, like, peeling it off. It's like part of the whole process. You know what I mean? It would seem to be. There's like, I'm sure there's a whole process of doing it so you don't ruin the bread and the timing of it to get it exactly right. You know, it's like a, you know, it's like flipping a pancake. You know, it's like part of the making, part of the cooking process. It's not just like a practical. It's like part of the whole thing. So it's presumably that's part of the baking process. So it's saying even though technically baking means making it edible, and here it's really already edible and you're just peeling it off, but I guess the Rabbanan said is that if you allow him to do that part of the process, he's going to end up doing the whole process. So it's the Rabbanan. Okay, so this is the fun. That's all you need now. So now the question is, and everybody says like this, is if Hidbik Pasbatanor, so let's assume on Shabbos, a guy takes the bread and sticks it onto the stick, takes the dough and sticks it onto the wall of the oven. Okay, on Shabbos. Now what's going to happen here? Is that if he lets it go, if he doesn't peel it off, he's going to violate the Deoraisa. Okay, he's going to violate the Torah prohibition. Okay, because he's going to bake, and he baked. If he peels it off, he's going to avoid the Torah prohibition, because he's going to peel it off before it fully bakes. Baking has to be, it fully bakes. He's going to avoid Torah prohibition, but he's going to violate the rabbinic prohibition. So the question is, do the rabbis allow him to peel it off? Do the rabbis allow him to peel it off? Do they, so to speak, waive their prohibition in the face of the rights of prohibition? Okay, or not? Okay, let's see how the Gemara says it. So it says, Hitiru lo l'radosa kodem shevel dechiv chatos, o lo hitiru. So do they allow him to peel it off before he ends up coming to the deraisa, or not? So it says, Tivsha de lo hitiru. So you should prove from our case, that they are not hetero, because you see from the fact that Abaye is entertaining that you have a knas, and no one really even came in. Everyone was willing to say, yeah, knas, let him keep his hand there the whole Shabbos. But no one was concerned about the fact that this knas may lead to the violation of the Deraisa. Apparently we don't care about that stuff. Apparently when you make a Derabana, you don't have to worry about that. So if that's the case, then by Rav Bibi, so it should be the same thing. You don't have to worry about it. And therefore, by Rav Bibi, you're going to have to keep it on, even though it's going to come to the Deraisa. That's the Gemara's move. Okay, it wants to say, from the fact that no one, the issue of the Knas, no one was really concerned about the potential Deraisa that's going to come about. So same thing here. Same thing by the case of Rav Bibi, that you don't have to be concerned about the fact that it's going to lead to a person violating a fiyah, violating baking on Shabbos. That's a Gemara saying. Okay, so there is a good question. Okay, they're not really comparable, because by the Knas, you're saying is that if you're not telling the guy to violate the Deraisa, you're just saying you have to keep your hand out there across for the whole Shabbos, right? Now what's going to happen? What's going to happen is maybe it's going to get heavy, and maybe the guy's not going to be willing to tolerate the pain, and maybe he's going to throw it down, and you're not concerned about that. You're not concerned that maybe it's going to come to a Deraisa. You're not concerned about that. So now it's saying, since you're not concerned about that, maybe it must be that in the case of the baking in the oven, you're also not going to be concerned. Yeah, but in the case of baking in the oven, it's not a maybe. It's a definitely. It's a definitely that you're going to come to a... You're definitely, by the Rabbanan saying that you have to keep it on. It's not a maybe. It's definitely going to be baked. So how do you conclude, just because no one was concerned about the maybe, doesn't necessarily mean that when it comes to the baking case where it's a definite, that you could just resolve that is the question. Right? That's your question, right? Good. Good question. It just doesn't follow. It's simple. It just doesn't follow. I mean, it's a whole totally different question. If here they're Rabbanan, and by the baking, they're causing the Torah to be violated. So they can't do that. Or arguably, I mean, that's a question. But by the Knas, you're saying, well, it could be. Maybe that's going to happen. Okay. But maybe not. So he says we're not going to look. We have to make a law. If this guy wants to violate it and do the Deraisa, that's his problem. But by the case of the baking, it's not that way, it's not his problem. It's you listen to the Rabbanan, you're definitely going to violate the Deraisa. So that's a problem. Okay, that's a good problem. But despite the problem, I think we should try to understand the Abaya first. But it's a good problem. So let's turn to the Abaya, the question. The Abaya is a two-sided question. Okay, so that's the Abaya. So the question. So what do you think about the Abaya? Is there a question on the question on the question? What do we think? Is the question? What would you think about the question? I mean, is there a side which is more difficult, or is there? What do you think about the question? Should by the baking? Let's say by the baking case. So David says, that, or he intuits that that how could Rabbi even ask such a question? After all, the whole purpose of the Rabbanon is to protect the Deoraisa. So how could it be that you're going to say, in this case, whereby listening to the Rabbanon, you're going to violate the Deoraisa, you got to be crazy for the Rabbanon to tell you to not do it. The whole thing they're trying to protect, here they're telling you to violate. What kind of crazy thing is that? How could Rabbi even entertain such a possibility? So the counter-argument by David, Yuda, and Johnny, full force. Basically, different David. Okay, so the counter-argument is, yeah, but after all, this is halacha here. You can't just start making an exception. I mean, the rabbis are making a law, a systematic thing, is that if we allow people to peel off their bread, they're going to end up breaking down the deraisa law. People are going to end up baking. Now, unfortunately, this guy got himself into a bind where he's going to end up violating the deraisa if he listens to the Rabbanon. But that's the breaks. I mean, you have to have a law here, and a law is a law. You can't just start making an exception for this one guy. I mean, once you start making exceptions, the law ceases to become be a law. So the law is that you have to prohibit, this is a prohibited activity. It's prohibited to peel bread off of the oven. Period. That's the rabbinic law. Now you'll say, oh, but I need to. Sorry, should have thought about that before you put it on the oven on Shabbos. You know, that's the law. And by what mechanism will this thing, it's true, the whole idea of the Rabbanon and all that stuff, very nice. But the bottom line is, here you have is the Rabbanon, and by what mechanism is the guy allowed to violate it? What mechanism is he allowed to violate it? Like, what happened here? Like, did they... Yeah, right, that's the question. But what mechanism is the guy allowed to violate it? And if you're going to allow him to start doing that, then the whole thing's going to be broken down. On the contrary, he'll learn his lesson. No one's going to do it anymore. Right, that's the argument. Okay, that sounds like a good argument. Seems like you could try to say, I mean... I think it's difficult to say. Yeah, it's difficult to say that, like, so to speak, when they made the gezeirah of Rodias HaPas, they said, but if a guy, they built in a case of a guy is an avayan and he puts it on Shabbos, then we're not going to make our law. I mean, first of all, why should they build that into a law? I mean, if a guy does that, I mean, this is like a funny case where he was making up, but I mean, people don't do that. In general, they're talking about a guy who's keeping halacha. It's hard to imagine when they built the law, they built in that exception, you know, and also, how do you just build in an exception like that? I mean, a law has to have a structure. I mean, you can't just have all kinds of law rules and exceptions. And I mean, what's the law? The law is, you know, let a peel bread off on Shabbos. It's not if this, if that. I mean, the law has to have a certain structure to it. So it's hard to say they built in an exception. But it's equally hard to say that they just, what's he saying? They set up the halacha. And then, he asked, did the Rabbanon allow him to do it or not? So what does he mean? Like, the Rabbanon sat down? Did they make like a new Bezdin? And they just decided, you know what, let's mati this case. Like, I don't know, what'd they do? I mean, it sounds like, by what mechanism is the guy allowed to violate the cesar? It's not like, it's hard to imagine that Ravi asked the question, so at some point someone asked the question and they decided to make a heter. So who was mati? Like, which rabbis is he talking about? Me, Tira Rabbanon, to do it. Who was mati to do it? I mean, how did this happen?
Authority.
Yeah, by what authority? Yeah, what is he referring to? Sorry, I don't think it was a yeshiva. New Bezin sat down and went to this guy. So, how does it work altogether? Here's the thing, I guess, is that the question is, when the Rabbanon, the Rabbanon, their principle is, when the Rabbanon make these laws, it's a gadar, it's a fence, so to speak, right? It's a mishmeras, it's a guard, they guard the Torah. Okay, they make a fence to protect the Torah. And the Rabbanon are given the authority to make a fence to protect the Torah. Now, is when you have a given rabbinic law, is the, so to speak, is the fence, the gedar, the reason for the law, but the law exists as like an independent reality? Or do you say like the very definition of the law is it's a fence, it's a protection of the Torah? Okay, is that part of the halachic character of every rabbinic prohibition, that it's a fence of the Torah, it's a protector of the Torah? You're not allowed to take medicine as a protection of the Torah. You're not allowed to notice. There are different, its halachic reality is as a protector of the Torah. What do you say? No, is that the reason why they do it, And the reason why they're given the right to do it is because they're in charge with protecting the Torah. But with that charge gives them the right to create a law. And now the law exists as an independent structure. You're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos, period. Why the rabbis do it? Because to protect the Torah. Or do you say again, or do you say, no, that the halacha is that you must protect the Torah by not taking medicine on Shabbos. You know what I mean? Those two different things, right? So far, so good? Okay. Ah, so what's the difference? The difference is right here. See, because if you say that it's just a law, that the reason why they set up the law is because of protection, but halachically, the thing is basically just a law, an independent structure. So now you're faced with a law that you're not allowed to take off the bread off the oven. Now you're going to say, but I want to violate this law because in order to help protect the Torah. So you'll say, and isn't that the whole reason why the rabbis set up this law in the first place? That's the reason. And isn't this against the reason? But the answer is, yeah, but that's the reason, but this is a law. And a law exists as an independent structure, and you can't violate a law just because you came up with a case where the reason for the law no longer exists or is contradicted. Doesn't mean you can just do away with a law, because a law is a law, and that's what it means. A law is an independently existing structure, and that's it. Can't be violated. But if you say the other way, that really part of the character of the law is that it is a protection. You must protect the Torah by not peeling bread off of the oven. Okay, so to speak, if you wanted to hear the full version of the formulation, you know, you must protect the Torah by not peeling bread off of the oven. Okay, so if that's the case, so then if you put it in on Shabbos, and by you leaving the bread on the oven, you are going to be violating the Deoraisa. So then you can't say, like, the very identity of the law as a fence, as a protection, ceases to exist. And therefore the law simply can't apply to this case. So this is what kind of, that is like kind of what you're getting at, David, I think. It's simply, if the very definition of the thing is a fence, it's like a self-contradiction to for the law to exist in a case where it's going to cause a violation. So if the if the law is you must protect the Torah by leaving the bread on the oven, you can't say there's a contradiction here. You must protect the Torah by leaving the bread on the oven and violating the Torah. You know what I mean? That's a contradiction. So simply you can't be. You don't have to keep that law, because the law only exists insofar as it's offense. And insofar, when you create an instance where the thing ceases to be a fence, it's simply, the law can't exist. The law can't exist, and therefore it's going to be a mutter. You know what I mean? But again, if the fence is the reasoning behind the setting up the law, but it's not a halachic component to the law, so now halachically, the law is a law. And therefore, all your whole argument is just saying the rabbis would have never prohibited me to do this if they would have considered. Very nice, but it's a law. Law is a law. You can't just remove a law because of that. So you're just asking, what's the motivation here? Could you just go a little further? Why would you say one way or another? Essentially, that's your question, yeah. Right? So, because you're happy to say that it is a component of it, because that's what it is. But I mean, I think the argument to say that it's not a part of it is right. I mean, it's simple, but I think conceptually it's a simpler formulation.
You're
to say it's a law. To say it's conceptually complex to say that every law has like a built-in component and characteristic as a fence. I mean, that's the reason why they do it. But a law is a law. Like as a structure, it's a complex structure. To posit that it's like a every law has that characteristic to it, you know. You have to protect the Torah and not take medicine. You have to protect the Torah and not, you know. That's just, it's like a lot of baggage, so to speak. It's conceptually much simpler to say this is a law, and that's the reason. You know what I mean? But on the other hand, you could argue is that it's true, it's conceptually more complex, but there has to be a sharp halachic distinction between the Derais and the Darabonans. And the Darabonans' very nature must be as a dependent reality as a offense, and the deraisa has to be an independent reality. And it's, I mean, that's the point. It's like the rabbanon's role is only as protectors. They can't make an intrinsic law. The Torah makes the only intrinsic law, you know. But does that have to be, so to speak, manifest in the very structure of their laws? That it's like built into the law is the characteristic of the rabbanon? Or do you say no? That's just the reason why. But But once it is, you know, you have a certain simplicity of the law itself, which is going to say that it's that's it. The reason is definitely because to protect the Torah, and if it's not a good protection, they're definitely not going to make it, and that's their sole consideration. The question is, though, now does that reason carry over into the halachic structure of the thing itself, or is it purely in the realm of reasons? So just an example. It brings to mind the Rambam. I think it's related. It says that basically it's in Mamrim Parak Beis Halachatas. But basically the Rambam says is since the Rabbanim are allowed to make laws, so what's Baltosif? How could you have this Nisr? Everyone are not allowed to add on to the Torah. So what do you mean? But they're allowed to make laws. So isn't that a contradiction? It's a contradiction. Is there a Nisr? The one that says you're not allowed to add on to the Torah, the other hand says you're allowed to make the Rabbanim, you're allowed to make decrees. So it says, no. It says, because basically they can't, here's an example. It says, it's like, it says you're not allowed to, okay, so you're not allowed to, basically, So basically, the Torah pasuk means you're not allowed to eat meat and milk. Okay? You're not allowed to eat meat and milk, but that's meat, meat of a domesticated or non-domesticated animal. But chickens you're allowed to eat. Okay? Chickens from the Torah, you're allowed to eat chickens with milk. So if the Miyavo Bezin Viatar Basar Vasar Chaya Chaya V'Chalav, how is it going? So if the Rabbans say you're allowed to eat with wild animals and non-domesticated animals, then they'd be diminishing from the Torah. That's the one prohibition. But if they answer, they prohibited the chickens' meat, and they said Shubachal Gadiv Vasar Torah, that the Torah really meant that. If they said, you know what, the Torah meant chicken meat also. Then that Haritzeh Motzav. Then they're adding on to the Torah. That they're not allowed to do. Avalim Amar Basar Hof Mutter Menat Torah. But if they say that really chicken's meat is mutter, it's permitted from the Torah. V'anu Ne'asar Osof V'Nadiel. But we're prohibiting it. V'Nadiel Amshu Gezera. And we tell the people that it's a Gezera. Shelo Yavu Menat Davar Chova. V'Yomru Ha'Of Mutter B'Neshal Asparish. So it's a Gezera because people otherwise are going to say. They're going to say, oh, why is chicken mud permitted? Because Torah doesn't say it openly. And then the person's going to say, oh, so wild animals also the Torah doesn't say, because the Torah only just says a kid, right? The goat. And then someone else will say everything except for a goat. Because another guy will say it only says with his mother's milk. But if it's with a different animal, it'll be mutter. Even if it's the same type of animal, it's not really its mother. So it's going to end up basically leading to someone's going to take the pasuk literally and say it literally only means the goat with its mother. A goat's milk, the baby goat and the mother. Alright, so this is, So then the Rabbanan are explaining, they're telling this whole story, the Rabbanan. And they're saying, is therefore we're prohibiting chicken's milk, so that a person doesn't start doing it. Once a person, you allow some meat, a person's going to say, oh, the reason why we're allowing chicken meat is because it doesn't say in the Torah, and then he's going to go on this whole chain. So then, in Torah. That's not adding, that's making offense to the Torah. Okay, if they give this whole explanation. So it basically depends on what they say. If they say that they're prohibiting the chicken because that's what the Torah meant, then they're adding onto the Torah not allowed. But if they give this whole shiur, and they give this whole full explanation of the thing, then it's going to be permitted, you know? Then they're allowed to do it. And they're supposed to do it. So it's just interesting. It's like what they say.
Because they're doing the same thing.
They're doing the same thing. It's like, how does their saying become part of the halachic structure? I mean, they're making the law. Now there's the whole story and this whole shir. I mean, this is the shir that they're giving while they're making the law. It's like, it's funny. It's an interesting thing. Like, the difference is totally in what they say while they make the law. But saying is part of a law now that, you know. But I mean, I'm just saying is that according to what we're saying here, according to one side of the Hibaya, that the fence is a component of the law itself. It's not just the reason for the law, but it's actually a component of the law itself. Then it's easier to understand how what they say is really part of the law. You know what I mean? Because if it's a fence, if the character of the law itself is a fence, so then implicit in the law is how it's the protection and the manner of the protection. I mean, if it's just the reason, then that's the reason. That's why they did it. But Baal Mun is just making a law. Law is a law. It's a difference. So this is a law. But if you're saying is that the very character of the thing is that it's offense, then you could, the particulars of how it's offense and what it's offense for and that it's offense are really halachic components of the thing itself. So they're determined based upon when the Bezdin makes the law and what they say. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm sure there are other ways to answer the question, you know. But I think it's just it's interesting. It's just an interesting connection. I mean, take it as you want.
Right.
As a note, he says the psak. I mean, it seems to me, at least if you believe the Amish Ben Mitzvah, the psak is that you can check the Rambam. Yeah, but it seems the psak is that it's mutter to take it down, which means that the gether is part of it. So that would be in line to saying why the Rambam put the how the Rambam explains that. Again, I'm not saying this is a definite. You know, what I mean, I'm just drawing the connection. I think it's possible that you know you could explain it with that. But again, I'm not saying if you say the other svara, the Rambam would have written it the other way, or you know. But I'm just drawing the connection. I think as we go along, we're going to revise the svara a little bit. The svara is not. We're going to have to keep this in mind because there's going to be a problem with the svara as we move forward. So just this is a svara for now. Okay, and it's a good svara. At this point, I think this is the way to go. But you'll see. There's going to be a problem. I think it's going to have to. We're going to have to change a little bit. Okay, but I'm just saying that. Yeah, the Ram is in Perek Tas Nechal Shabbos Halacha Hey. It says Shachach v'hidbik pas betana b'Shabbos v'nizkar. If you forget and you put the bread in the oven on Shabbos and you remember, muto dosa kodesh shetavu v'yavu demalacha. So it's muto to take it down before it bakes and you come to the derisa. We still didn't answer. We still have the answer. The problem is that how does this? This is all very nice. Where by the case of the Adias Apostle, because you're saying is how can you say it together if it directly contradicts and causes you to violate the derisa? But that's not the same thing by the case of the hand, where the hand is just a question. Of a kanav that it may lead you to violate the deraisa. That's not the same thing. So how does the Gemara say just because it says that it's mutter, just because the Gemara says that that it's mutter, they keep the law, the kanas, even though maybe it will lead to violation. Then how does that prove that in a case where it definitely will lead to violation, they're gonna maintain the law? Okay, so that's still the problem. That's still out. We still have to explain that one. Okay, and then I guess we'll go for the Gemara.